great.
Oh man, this guy hates me.
Mic test. Yeah, probably should have done that.
One,
before.
Two. Sorry. Hey,
we're going live. Now.
Mic test.
Yeah, we'll do it as we go.
Michael, check.
I'm in freaking. Where's the Cyberpunk Edgerunner show take place? I'm in that city.
Blade City.
Oh my.
No, you're in Roku City right now.
That's Roku City. Straight up.
I did not mute YouTube, and that Planet Fitness ad just sent me.
All right. Well. Well, you're getting set by a Planet Fitness ad. We are live. Hello, everyone. It's Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything. And welcome back to another Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 Analysis, Episodes 5 and 6. The duel between Yuya and Sora. Just as a reminder at the top of the podcast, none of the other guys on the panel, Dredge, Pete, Callan, Nick T., none of them have seen Arc 5. None of them have a like super clear understanding of what happens in Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5. So please be mindful of the comments and of the chat. Please try not to say anything that is too spoilery for what is going to happen down the road, as that will, of course, eliminate some of the enjoyment and theorizing that we are going to be able to do here on the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. And I am joined by the full team here. It's beautiful. It's a great team. We got Dredge. We got Pete. We got Cal. We got Nick T. Dredge in Lumina City. I don't know where he is. Dredge, how are you doing tonight?
Lumina City. I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Excited to talk some Arc 5, some interesting episodes, and it'll be a good night.
Absolutely. Dredge in Raccoon City. Thank you for reporting.
Ooh,
Pete,
Resident Evil.
Keeps changing. What's going on, Pete? How you doing?
All night.
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Great to have you on, Pete. Cal Barisi, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Doing good, man. Doing really well. Happy to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I cannot complain. Nick T., the man in the bottom right. How are you doing, dude?
I'm doing excellent, brother. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. My voice is certainly not at 100%, but one of the beautiful things about this show is I don't really do as much talking on this show, which I'm sure a lot of people probably enjoy, because obviously I have seen all of Arc 5, and while I do enjoy asking leading questions and, you know, leading the conversation, I am being very careful not to spoil anything, and I'm trying to remember where my mindset was when I was watching Arc 5 while these early episodes were airing. So, yeah, with introductions out of the way, I think we're going to probably just dive right into it here. Sora, Yuya, Episodes 5 and 6 of Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5, coming off the Shingo-Yuya duel, which saw Yuya, of course, defeat Shingo. I do want to thank everybody who donated and or super chatted in the last episode, which, of course, was 2 weeks ago. A huge thank you to Electra Kevin, Ice Aiden, Sean Gilbride, Fui Weep, That Man, Dark Emperor J, Axel Hero. There is never any pressure to donate. There's two ways if you'd like, the super chat feature or the link in the description, but there is never any sort of pressure to do so. Any sort of support, even just your time watching, is greatly appreciated. So we're just going to go in order here. Dredge, we'll start with you. Coming off episodes 3 and 4 here, excuse me. How are you feeling after two more episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5?
It was good. I would say it's good, not great. It was entertaining. It was nice to get some backstory on Sora, to see Sora kind of go from this, you know, I'm obsessed with you. I want to be your master. I want you to be my master. I want to be the apprentice. That fun little, you know, get up he had. And then once the duel kind of gets going, obviously we're going to, you know, 5 and 6 combined into one. He, you know, Yuya's kind of taking it to him a little bit. Pendulum summons. And then Yuya and Sora kind of turns it on a little bit. Turns on it, you know, his actual deck. Has some moves. Him kind of moving around the field without the hippo. Took out Yuya's hippo knowing that he used that for action cards. So the dueling action was entertaining. Sora was an interesting character. I feel like we're definitely going to get more of Sora. And you knew there'd be a twist. You know, unfortunately, we know that Sora is an important character. So when the stakes were, you know, you know, if I win, you know, you have to be my master. And if you won, hey, you're out of here. You're gone. You know, but it really wasn't that. It was now they can be friends. So that was a fun little twist they did. Very happy-go-lucky. As you know, Yuya is even in that moment. But overall, it was good. I don't have a lot to say. There wasn't a lot of, like, I don't think there's a lot of hidden stuff moving forward for the upcoming episodes. It really was just that Sora and Yui Interaction, who obviously Sora will become an important side character, I presume. But not, I mean, the toy deck, I'll talk about the deck a little bit. I can tell you right now, it will not be the deck that I'll be building in Master Duel. Not a big toy deck.
Not
fan.
A big Fright Fur guy. I actually like Fright Fur.
It's very much much Five Nights at Freddy's with that bear for sure.
Sure.
Definitely a cool fusion card. Sure. Cool effect. I did like the effect of gaining the monster attack that it destroys. So that was cool. But overall, good episodes. Slowly moving along the plot, but you have to take that into account when you start any new show. There is going to be some time we need to learn about these characters and get to really see what they can do. So there is that slow part, which is normal for any show. So I totally understand that. So I'm looking forward to, 7 and 8 to see what's next. I did not watch the preview. I'll make that statement now. So I don't know what's next.
Cool. Yeah. Another element that I loved that you had mentioned, I obviously being a huge fan of sugar and candy, I loved the dueling field.
Oh,
one of my favorite dueling fields in Arc 5. But no, well said, Dredge. You gave the Simon Cowell good, not great verbiage.
Yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. I enjoyed it, but like, was I glued to the screen? Was I like, oh God, I have to watch this? I can't say that I was. It's one of those things that even with the subs, I kind of have an idea. I know some of the words, It was cool to see a fusion summon, I will say that. I didn't expect that, I guess. That's one thing I said real quick that I didn't expect. I didn't expect Sora to fusion. So that was pretty cool. That was interesting to see. There is some, obviously, as I'm thinking about it, it is interesting that, when they ask him, how do you fusion summon? Oh, it's where everyone from where I came from does it. So that'll be something obvious. That's probably the only really tidbit of, looking into the future we got. So that is something that I did notice, and we'll have to find more about that later on.
Sure. Yeah, no, very, very good catch there. All right, cool. Pete, what were your thoughts here on episodes 5 and 6, the debut of, the dueling debut, I should say, of Sora Schwinwin?
Yeah, I mean, I like this show so far. I think it's good. I thought these were solid. They weren't anything crazy, as Dredge said, but I enjoyed them. And I just, 2 weeks ago, I think I said, I think you gave a poll at the end of like, what do you think of Sora? And I said, I don't trust this man. I think that was only further confirmed that I do not trust this man.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, the follow-up.
Yeah, there's a little bit of psychopathic tendencies clearly hidden underneath. His persona and the line that obviously has been mentioned already that we'll talk about is I could see where that's going. So he's not to be trusted at all. He's a very interesting character. Very much enjoyed kind of his dark presence or so. And I really like Yuya so far. So I like the elements I've said before that he ties in. I love the flashback scenes of his family, his dad, mm-hmm. Even seeing his mom, obviously, in the present day. It feels different than what we normally see, and I like having this like familial constant reminder and element so far through the show, so I'm having fun.
Yeah, well, I always think in regards to parents, like Vrain's for Yusaku completely non-existent, Yuga, yeah, we joke about his mom, but really a non-factor of a character, and then Udius and Uemu and Yuhi non-existent, really. So it is like, of all the shows that we have kind of watched together as a group and that you guys have watched, for the most part, that parental family dynamic really isn't there. So it is cool to kind of see that with Yuya, that not only is it there with his parents, but like there, it's a big part of his character. And it will be consistently throughout the show, which I think is something that is pretty unique you've seen it before, like with Yuma, but not with Yugi, not with Judai. You say kind of, but like, Yuya's parents, I think, are probably the most impactful character parents that we have in the story. So it is very unique in that regard. My follow-up question for you, Pete, was going to be if your trust of Sora has increased. Clearly it has not. So,
I'm pretty good at feeling vibes, and anyone, I've watched a lot of television, that so enthusiastically inserts himself in the way that he did, wants something, they're not who they say they are. And I thought that was very obvious last week or 2 weeks ago when we were on here. Only feels doubling down now, and I only think it's going to get creepier and a little bit more mysterious, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, yeah, no, we certainly will. I'm interested to see if Cal and Nick T feel similarly about him. Cal, what were your thoughts here? Dredger said it was good. Pete liked it quite a bit. What were your thoughts here on episodes 5 and 6 and just, you know, Sora overall and, you know, anything you want to talk about? I mean, we still are in the very early stages of Arc 5. So obviously your guys' opinions of Yuya are going to continue to be formed. Yoko had some funny moments. As soon as Pete mentioned Yuya's mom, I saw Nick T with a big smile on his face. So, you know, excited to talk to Nick T about Yoko. But Cal, any thoughts about these two episodes here?
So I enjoyed both. I thought they were both good episodes. The duel itself I thought was very entertaining. The fusion surprise was nice, and then even as Dredger mentioned, like Sora saying like, oh, where I'm from, you know, we always do fusions. And immediately when Sora said that, I thought of Pete's point about not trusting Sora, and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm there. Like, it's a little suspicious if you ask me. And then even when he says, like, you can't make that decision about being his friend, and then he just puts his hand on his shoulder, and he's like, we're buddies. Like, it's right. Almost like, yeah, whether right. or not you want it to be, like, we're friends, buddy. So this is me and you now. So I thought that was kind of an interesting piece that definitely put me on the train with Pete there for being a little suspicious of Sora. Also, completely understood why Nick T liked Yuya's mom, so like that makes sense,
of course.
I did really enjoy the episode. I did think of you, Dill, when I saw like the Candyland aesthetic.
Love it. Favorite field
coming in. Yeah, so that was cool as well. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I do like the action duels. It adds a little kind of chaos and randomness to the duels that obviously you wouldn't get in a normal duel, so I still do kind of like that. Although I really did think that when Sora picked the card off of, I think it was like a candy cane that Yuya was going for, I was like sure set that it was going to be like a bad trap or something, like when he dueled earlier and Yuya kept picking up the cards that were hurting him. Yeah, like I felt like that was going to come back into play, but then it ended up not.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, very well said. Obviously, the Candyland field is just fantastic.
Nick, it's super sweet.
Nick, it's very sweet. Very good way to put it. Nick T, before I get your thoughts on these two episodes, I want to very quickly, you've often called Shingo a Chad, even though you've never actually watched him in action. What are your thoughts on Shingo? Quick thoughts, now that you've seen him here in episodes 3 and 4.
Still a Chad, but not necessarily in a good way. I mean, the dude's a total scumbag.
Thank you. Thank you.
Total scumbag.
yeah. But still a Chad, but like the bad way. Still Chad. I guess Chad
like,
kind of
both.
Two things.
He's a Chad in both ways. Like,
was he jester maxing in this episode? Was that what was
he was definitely jester gooning. Yeah. He was jester
gooning. That's not what I said.
That's not what you said, but that's the phrase. It means to like be jovial and like, you know, we literally looked up what it meant. Anyway,
all right, you go.
Yeah, he was, and yeah, I mean, he's a scumbag, and I thought it was particularly interesting. If we're still talking about that,
yes,
particularly interesting. Sort of his not just necessarily play style, but his approach to action duels.
Mm-hmm.
Because like his duel style is one thing, but his approach to action duels I thought was particularly interesting with setting up the negative action cards, like because we hadn't seen that yet. Obviously, we were only 3 episodes in, and we were just getting introduced to action duels. So, like, seeing negative action, you know, spells was really cool, but also like very frustrating.
Yeah, the action traps. Cool. Yeah.
And the action traps.
That was one of my favorite elements of it, where it's like, hey, there are these cards. Like, it is a bit of a gamble. Like, not every time you get an action magic or an action spell is it going to benefit you. And, like, I like that that was established here very early on. That was something that I really did enjoy in regards to action duels. That, like, you know, because if it was always just the same cards or always like beneficial spells, then there's really no like reason to ever hesitate going for an action card. But if you have this pool of action traps that can negatively affect you and harm the duel, that could cause a duelist some sort of hesitation. So that was something that I really did enjoy during that Yuya Shingo duel.
Yeah, same. Yeah, absolutely.
So moving on to the Sora stuff.
The Sora stuff. Yeah, I definitely, I definitely didn't trust him. I do like him. I like Sora quite a bit. When he's, you know, being sweet, like it feels nice, but also something feels off. I mean, I think even getting introduced to him at the end of what was that, episode four. Like it seems like he already put on a mask because he seems so blank and chill, and then suddenly he's like, "Oh, Yuya, master." It's like something just felt like he was a blank slate before, or like his true intentions were sort of blank, and then meeting Yuya sort of put on this facade, which I mean, he totally. Even though he lost, he totally hustled Yuya. I mean, we think he's going into this duel like being not very good. He wants to learn from Yuya, like wants to learn Pendulum, and then nearly crushes him. To the point, even like what really stuck out to me was his like inability to get an action card because Yuya just kept beating him to the punch.
Right.
And then for the last one, he literally like Dragon Ball Z teleported to it and back. And I'm like, yo, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just sick. No, it was cool though, and I do like him. I'm very curious about him. Unfortunately, and I didn't like read any like spoilers or anything, and I obviously wouldn't say it, but there was something I remembered hearing in conversations about the show that reminded me where Sora like might be from. So whatever.
Yeah, at this point, at the end of the day, you guys have watched a good amount of the 8 Yu-Gi-Oh! Shows. It's impossible to not know anything about Arc 5. I mean, it's just not. I mean, for Pete, I mean, on his YouTube channel, I used to upload Arc 5 reviews that he used
seen
to watch
quite a bit.
Yeah, so like, it's just. I mean, it is impossible to be totally spoiler free. But it's one thing to have a little bit of context. It's another thing to kind of see how it plays out and then judge it based on how it plays out. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's like, I don't know exactly, but I do know that this element, certain element plays into the dynamic of the show. So, but I'm excited to see how that plays out. Yeah. Like you said, I'm really liking it, to be honest. And you know, as someone who kind of bores quickly of multi-episode duels, the action duels really keep me on my toes with that one.
Interesting, yeah.
So I know I'm liking the action duels.
I know you were not really a fan of the duels in Vrayans. I've always felt like the duel quality of Arc 5 is more entertaining than the duel quality in Vrayans. So I'll be interested to see if that holds up for the duration of Arc 5 for you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far, I mean, I've watched all 3 duels so far all the way through without like, you know, jumping ahead or anything. Yeah. I do find them particularly interesting.
Cool. And then, you know, we got to talk about Yuya's mom, man. I mean,
we have
Sora,
to talk about Yoko, yeah.
Sora really just...
Yeah. So, yeah, there is actually something I like a lot about that. Obviously, I love seeing Yoko on screen. That's, you know, let's
right,
put
course.
That aside now.
Of course.
What I do like is that, like, Yuya's dad is an important piece to this puzzle. We know that. Like, that's a given. But I think Yuya's mom plays an important part to him as a character, and that is being established in a way that I really like, you know, because she's kind of like a rock for him already. But like, we're also getting some like character things about it, like Sora playing into like her obvious, like not I don't want to say narcissism, not the word, but like her vanity.
Yeah,
playing
that,
her vanity by
word.
Calling her young and beautiful, and her just like. Fawning over
eating
it, and
it
like
up.
Yeah, but yep. Have more pancakes. You know, she's great. She is great, and I'm excited to see her character develop. Like, obviously, I'm excited to see her more on screen, but I'm excited to see her character develop more as a support for Yuya.
Yeah, I remember when I was watching that scene and even rewatching that episode. I always found it interesting, like that Sora had the intelligence to kind of be able to like play on that of Yoko.
Absolutely.
In order to get more pancakes. Like that never read to me as just like an innocent kid, you know. And I mean, sure,
no, he's very good at manipulating.
Right. It's very a very manipulative thing. So there's even an undertone in that dynamic and that dialogue, which I always found was really interesting with Sora, and even with like, and again, we're not gonna get like you know, if you guys want to speculate, you can. I don't want to speculate too much or guide the conversation one way or another. I'm just trying to remember how I felt in regards to Sora when he showed up. There was always something that I found interesting, that his deck was all these like cute, fluffy monsters, but then like had these demons inside of them, essentially.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was always a very, because I think with Yu-Gi-Oh, you can learn a lot about a character based on what deck they play. I feel like there's a lot of like symbolism there, and you know, they usually do a really good job giving very like symbolically powerful decks to certain characters. So that was always another element that I always remember when I watched this duel between Sora and Yuya very early on. I'm trying to think. I mean, I watched the episodes a couple of days ago. Unless I'm misremembering, there was no like Akaba Reiji, there was no Shingo, right? It was really very contained in terms of like what characters appeared, being the Yusho dual school, you know, which is Yuzu and her father and all them. And the, you know, the annoying and the trio kids. And the kids. Yeah. And then
the annoying trio.
And then the two who dueled, which was Yuya and Sora. So, yeah, I mean, I do find it interesting. The one line that Dredger, you had mentioned. Now, Pete, you might know a little bit about this. So, Cal, I want to ask you, I mean, what do you make of the whole where I'm from, you know, everybody fusions?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's interesting. And like I said, before, like that kind of between, like, that was kind of the biggest thing to me that like kind of put me on Pete's team of like the, yeah, like I'm a little sus of this guy now, because he's not, you know, clearly he's not from here. He's basically saying that straight to your face. I'm not from here. And he's like, oh, another country. And I feel like saying another country and him like not really giving an answer to me means like, hey, it's from a little bit further than that, you know, like he's not from around these parts. So that, so that definitely makes me a little sus of him just by that comment. And then again, how he kind of ended the episode, like, yeah, we're buddies, pal. Like, whether or not you want to be, we're buddies now.
Whether you like it or not.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm a little, the sus meter is up. I'll say that.
Yeah, the sus meter is up. Dredge, you know, I think, I mean, I feel like just based on the vibe of the four of you, either you kind of maybe know a little bit about Sora in some regards, or you're extremely suspicious. I feel like those are kind of where everybody's at. Dredge, is that where you're at? Is that fair to say about Sora?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's I've just heard the name way too often, so clearly it's got... There's got to be something, right? Yeah, I hear the name all the time. It's just a matter of, like, it's got to be something. Again, that being said, do I know exactly what? No, but in Pete's right, he just has that vibe to him. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, but after watching this episode, watching that almost, like, heel turn-esque thing, it's yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Sora does.
But what if he's just from the Leo dual school wing of fusion?
No. You're
he literally said he's not a student. He was never a student there.
Oh, he did say that.
He's
not
from around here, bro.
Bruh.
Maybe he's from Canada, you know? Because obviously the show takes place in Japan. Maybe he's from like Canada.
Yeah, everybody.
You know, it'd be wild that Dylan's trying to make me think it's Canada. It's actually Canada. That'd be wild.
I just say exactly where he's from.
Just throw this off.
Spoilers.
Maybe he's from Mars, bro. Ha ha. And then he's actually from Mars.
Well, I mean, for one of these like storylines, I will have to do that, but yeah, cool. No, I mean, it seems all of you guys,
why we have to do that?
No, I'll have to do that. I'll have to like in a troll way say like, oh yeah, maybe they're right from, answer. But it will be the truth just to keep, you know, you guys on your toes. Pete, you had something you wanted to add?
Yeah. He gives me like kind of like assassin vibes. you know, we don't really know where he's from.
Sure.
I could see where that's going, but I'm not going to say anything because I could be right based on things from 10 years ago. but just the way he was when he is introduced and he takes out four guys, including Shingo, they ask him about it. He really doesn't explain it. He's able to track down exactly where Yuya lives, implant himself inside his kitchen, basically charm his mom. No problem. he's very adaptable to who he's with, the situations he's in, and he knows exactly what to say to what groups. And I think the duel itself, I honestly don't think he cared that he lost. I think that was all about gathering information. I want to know about pendulums. I want to see what other things they could do. Oh, they don't actually go to the graveyard. It goes to the extra deck. Brilliant. I'm going to remember that and make an adjustment for the future. So I think it was all about information gaining. And he gives me very much assassin vibes to not trust. For whatever reason he's here for, not a clue in the world. But he is a character to 100% not trust.
Well, it's funny because once you like lay it all out, it is... It is even hard to argue, right? I mean, there is a lot of, right? Even his debut of taking out four like students with no issue at all is pretty insane. And then just to act like completely, oh yeah, no worries.
Yeah, it's normal. We
will definitely keep a close eye on Sora. Usually a lot of these episodes are not only us discussing whatever two episodes we just watched, but also discussing other things that happened in the episode, but as we already said, this was a very like self-contained episode.
Yeah, well,
so there's really like outside of Sora's discussion, there's quite literally nothing more I feel like to really like talk about in terms of speculation in regards to the other characters we've seen, a Shingo, a Reiji, even a Leo Duel School. So I'm not sure if any of you four had anything else you kind of wanted to touch on. But if not, I think we'd go to some donation super chat, see what people are saying, and then see where the night takes us.
Oh, damn.
I like that.
There was one mention in the beginning when Sora calls like Yuya and Yuzu, like, oh, your girlfriend. And I just thought it was funny because I feel like in all the Yu-Gi-Ohs I've watched, they just never even mention like relationships at all.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny?
So just like very early on, it was funny that was like something that was brought up.
And you know what's so funny about that, Cal? There are romantic teases in, I would argue, I wouldn't even argue it, I would say it's the case, every single Yu-Gi-Oh anime up until like Yu-Gi-Oh Vrains. So it is funny because
when I started watching,
because this is like something that like if you were watching Arc 5 at the time, it's like, oh yeah, main pro tag, main girl lead, already being teased about being in a like a romantic relation. Like that's just a very common Yu-Gi-Oh thing. 5Ds is Issei Inaki. GX, Asuka clearly having feelings for Jidai. Yeah. Like at Yuma and Kotori. But like it's funny because Caliber, you've watched the back three and those themes are really not nearly as like in your face if they even exist at all. And that's of course debatable. It is funny because the bench scene, sure, which I did not feel. I mean, I did not take that as a romantic scene, but some people did. I mean, they were just sitting in a bench together, but some people were like, no, it's very romantic. Maybe it was.
Symbolism.
Yeah, right. The symbolism. Yeah, the bench. Yeah, right.
The symbolism.
You know,
The closest thing I got to a relationship in the show, I think, was what's her face being so obsessed with Yuna being so obsessed with Yuga.
Sure.
That was like the only like love aspect of it,
where she almost threatened reality.
I always got vibes from Asana and Yuga.
Yeah, I mean, that flower field scene, I mean, there was definitely...
I could see that.
Yeah, that one I could definitely see.
Vibes, yeah, but, like, there's not, like, a mention.
No.
Right.
It wasn't in those shows.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's the thing. It was more, like, vibe, if you feel the vibe, interpretation. But, yeah, like, with Arc 5 and with a lot of the shows before Arc 5, it is a lot more in your face and like directly mentioned, like it was mentioned here. And that is something that, you know, may very well continue throughout the series. But yeah, that is funny, right? I didn't, because for me, it's like a very normal thing the eight Yu-Gi-Oh shows, but it's funny where if you've only watched the back three, you know, a character verbally teasing the main pro tag and the main girl about dating is not like, is new to you, which is kind of funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it's normal in most shows, animes, whatever. Like, there's a main guy and there's a main girl. There's bound to be some tension along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, just in the Yu-Gi-Oh shows specifically for me, I'm like, oh, maybe that's just not much of a thing.
Yeah, no, that's I think that's very well said. Yeah,
you deserve to be hit. That was not what you say 100%. In that situation.
Oh yeah,
I laughed out loud when he got smacked. Yep. I said, "You 100% deserve that."
Yeah,
that's not what you do.
My favorite is zooming in on Yuzu's face, and you knew before
she was
before the fan even came out after Yuya said what he did, you knew he was getting smacked.
Yuya getting
deserved. Yes, yeah. Nick T, you had something you wanted to add.
I particularly enjoy how much of a fool Yuya can be.
Sure,
just like he obviously, you know, he is an entertainer, and like his job is to sort of be a clown at times, but like. The whole bit about Yuzu being the female strong Ishijima is hilarious to me. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And then she just gets so pissed. Yeah. Whenever he gets smacked, he often deserves it, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I would say almost always deserves it, and it's funny because Yuzu is certainly a hothead. I would definitely describe her that way. But when it comes to her smacking Yuya or yelling at Yuya, it is almost always justified, which is always fun to watch play out. But yeah, no, Yuya definitely has to watch. I don't know what he has to watch. Some podcasts about dating.
Maybe not podcasts. No, I think he.
Should he read a book? There's a couple of YouTube channels you could probably.
I got a great YouTube channel. I could
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's for when you're married. You know, that's like a different stage of, you know, you're that. Yeah, right. On the Heineken. Yeah. All right.
Come on, man. Come on.
The best part is, Pete, I think if that person was somehow like watching, I don't even think they would pick up the reference.
I don't think so.
Yeah, which is just. Oh my god, it's just so funny. Listen, we for legal purposes we can't continue to go into that, but good times. Listen, be very careful about what you digest on the internet because a lot of it is garbage, truly. But I appreciate all of you guys being here, so thank you very much. We've got a few. I think we've got right now 3 supers and a cheer. So thank you guys so much for all the support. We're gonna start getting to these. Dark Emperor J, thank you so much for the 100 bits. Random extreme question for the crew. Okay, good. This is an extreme question.
I like extreme.
Random extreme question for the crew. Let's say a millionaire came by and donated $1 million to Dill. This is an extreme. I love this question. Wow, this is great.
This is a unrealistic question.
Very unrealistic. After this, he and Ivrea decided to retire and buy a cottage in Delaware. Okay, that is extreme because that is not what we would do, but we'll go with it. As for the channel, he decides to give it to you. So what will you do with the channel? It's an interesting question. I mean, Nick T, we'll start with you down there, man. What would you do?
What am I doing with the channel?
If I gave Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything to you, yes.
In all seriousness, are we answering this seriously?
I mean, you can answer it any way you want. Or would you sell it? Is that that's the look that came
across? Sell it. I think no. My initial reaction was yeah, probably sell it. But no, I think I would want to honor it. I think I would want to carry the torch in some regard and continue it somehow, unless it becomes a financial burden or like some kind of burden. If it became burdensome, I'd probably be like, all right, I'm done with this. Somebody else has to do this or it's done.
I would say I don't think there's any reality where it would be burdensome. I'll just be completely transparent. I mean, if you don't want to like pay for editors or commission for thumbnails, which you certainly do not have to do, there really is no cost of like keeping this channel running. There's really no expense to you can't lose money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, of course. I would carry the torch. I think.
I love that, man. That is a that's a great answer.
Yeah, I gotta honor you.
I will
or
say,
I would sell it. I would sell it to the highest bidder.
Okay. I really don't know how much money you'd get for it. I don't think you'd get that much money for it. But I will also say this right now. This is in the 10 years. It'll be 10 years in July. The 10 years Damn. That I've had this channel. This genuinely right now, February 11th, 2026, is the worst time ever to run this channel. Just being honest. There is
January
no show.
This year is the worst time ever.
There is no show. There is no sign of a new show. Yeah. And so, you know, it's extremely challenging. So that's the only downside. But, you know, that's no fair. Costs. Cal, what about you, man? What are you doing with the channel?
Yeah, so I would try to keep things up and running. But, you know, there'd be a Yu-Gi-Oh! Section and an everything section. It'd be two different things, you know. So we could bring in, like, you know, sports stuff. You know, Pete could move his Clueless Gamers podcast in. We can just both reap the rewards of your lovely, wonderful subscribers that you have. And then we'd have like a video game section, because I don't have enough Yu-Gi-Oh! Knowledge to keep it only Yu-Gi-Oh!
Sure.
We could do it like once a week, you know?
We could start from the ground up, essentially.
Well, you could continue this podcast, right? You continue
could watch
this
every single show.
Yeah, you can continue, right. First right. Hour. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
Cool. I like that. Pete, Pete is the... I want to make sure I'm correct on this, but I'm pretty sure I am the only other person here that has a lot of experience running a YouTube channel. So I'm very, very interested in hearing what your approach would be.
I would keep it running. The first thing I would do is I would do a complete audit of your playlist.
There are
atrocious. I've been telling you that for years. That'd be the first thing I'd be correcting and cleaning up, because it drives me crazy. After that, yeah, I'd probably be similar to Cal, where I think just because of the state of where Yu-Gi-Oh! Is right now, you can't really keep it Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything, ironically.
Yeah.
You would have to bring in some other content. I think I probably would do some kind of poll to the audience, pick out maybe the three or four most popular things, whether it was other animes or sports or lifestyle or something like that, and whatever I thought would work and gain numbers and would be fun to do, and then maybe some of the guys would join me, maybe they wouldn't. Yeah, that's probably where I would start with it. It'd probably be kind of a rebranding, but no, I certainly wouldn't sell the channel or get rid of it or anything like that. I like the community here, and
yeah,
I think it'd be fun to hang out. Plus, if you sold it anyway, what am I gonna get? Two quarters? It's not even profitable.
I was gonna say I think it would probably sell, if I had to guess. My guess would be $1,000. That would be my guess. $1,000.
Oh, that sounds reasonable. Sounds reasonable.
That would be Nick T's just like, oh, I'll take that for F doing the channel. Are you kidding me? I'll take that. I think it would be worth, I think it's worth like $1,000. I think if I had to sell it, I think there's a site, I don't know how accurate it is, that tells you the value of your channel, but I don't know how accurate that is. Well, Dredge, you give your answer. I'm gonna look that up. Dredge, what would you do? Now, I would argue as well, pretty consistent content creator, but on the streaming side of it. And people have asked you before, like, hey, have you ever thought about going into the video side? I know you've talked about how you really don't have much of an interest in editing and all that stuff, which is very, very fair. So what would your approach be?
If the question is, just want to confirm the question so that my answer makes sense here. you've gotten $1,000,000 and you are giving the channel to me.
I'm giving it for correct? Free. Yes, I'm giving it for free.
This is my exact words to you. Nah, I'm good.
Wow.
Nah, I'm good.
But no, what if I come to you and I say, dude, this is what if my million dollars is contingent?
Hey, Dill. Hey, Dill. Yeah. Hey, bud. I love you. You're one of my best friends. I'm good.
That's crazy. That's
wow.
Absolutely crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. For multitude, you can look at it in a negative way. You can look at it in a positive way. The positive way is straight up, I don't think I could do a good job as you've done. So I wouldn't want to defame your channel in any way. So I wouldn't want that pressure of having to live up to that standard. I don't think I could do it. So I wouldn't want to do it. And then the positive is I don't got the time to do that shit. I unfortunately, it's, I think I would end up losing money trying to do it. So it just wouldn't end up being an ideal scenario for me. So
no, I mean, listen, it's a very fair answer. It's a very fair answer. So yeah. Dredger would reject it. Nick T seemed the most the most likely to sell it out of the three on the right. Although I don't think McTee would. You just seem the most likely. I don't think you would, but I think it's fair to say you seem the most likely. I said I think you could get about a grand for it, you said, "Oh,
my ears
I'm done."
Did perk up.
Yes, yeah. You got very excited. So I think you're the most likely to sell it, and that's all right. You can do it. If I'm giving it to you, I am not giving it to you with any strings. I am giving it to you for being a very good friend in my life, for being a very good influence in my life, and saying, this is yours. Do it. If you want to sell it for some quick cash, or if you want to see if you can revive this channel, let's go. It's all yours. It's all yours. Great question. Great question. And great answers.
It's a very
boys.
Fun question. I do like it.
It's a very fun question and great. I thought everybody gave a really good answer.
And I do want to add, like, if the Twitch account also counted, that would only make me want to do it more because I like streaming more than necessarily the video side. So that would give me the option to do that.
That is fair. Now, Dark Emperor J did say specifically this channel. So I assume maybe I would continue to stream on Twitch, but like not on YouTube, but I don't know. Well, no, we would still be under the Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything umbrella together. Now. Yeah. I guess I'd be giving it all away. That just makes more sense.
Yeah.
Man, that is funny. Great question. I believe we have a few supers as well, so we will read those and we will continue to talk Arc 5. Appreciate all of you guys being here. Thank you so much. Hanging out on a lovely Wednesday night. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yes. Do you want me to read, guys?
If you could, that'd be great.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. We've got $5 from Mr. Sean Gilbride.
Sean Gilbride. A Sean strike. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate you, my man.
Yes. He said, T-minus 2 days to my fourth night to shine, special needs prom, on Friday night, and I'm literally driving my mom insane from excitement. My excitement-fueled antics. So, I love that.
I love that as well. I hope you have an amazing time at Night to Shine. I think it's an incredible event, first and foremost. I think it's awesome that you're partaking in it. And I'm sure, even though you're driving your mom insane, I'm sure she's very, very excited for you to go and is very, very happy. And you know what? Listen, that's what moms are for. They are meant to not only, you know, be there for you, love you unconditionally, but like you're supposed to drive them insane from time to time. That's part of the deal. I'm sure my kids down the road are going to drive me insane at times. And like, it's just part of the contract. It just is what it is. So listen, your mom, I'm sure is awesome, Sean. Thank you so much for the super chat. But yeah, that is a really cool event. And I think it's awesome that Sean, like, you know, he really inspires me because he really like takes part in so many different events and functions that are put on.
And like everything.
Like everything, whether it's like the Special Olympics or like special needs prom, like there's so many amazing events out there, no matter what your like background or backstory is. And I think it's just like, get involved. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so freaking cool. So, Sean, 100%. You really do inspire me more than you realize, man. Thank you so much for the super chat. And have fun on Friday, man. Have fun. I'm sure it's going to be an incredible, incredible time. Thank you, Sean.
Yes, sir. Enjoy.
Yeah, I feel like he's shown us pictures, sent us pictures of like previous
events. He definitely has. I also follow him on Instagram, so he'll pop up in my feed from time to time. Yeah. And I always, whenever it pops up, I always give it a like. But it always seems like it's a blast for sure.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah.
Hope you have a good time, brother.
Yes.
We have $5 from Ice Aiden.
Ice Aiden.
Ice Aiden. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Bump pressure.
Thank you.
And he said, hello, Yugi Bros. What did you think of the Super Bowl? And if you could have any wrestler cameo in Yu-Gi-Oh, who would you love to see? For me, it's Cody.
That's a great question.
The Super Bowl.
We'll start with the Super Bowl. I thought it was one of the worst games I've seen in the last 15 years. I mean, it was a snooze fest.
It was a snooze fest.
Yeah, I mean, it was just an awful game. It was an awful game. The teams were very, like, boring. I mean, obviously, I hate New England, so, like, I was happy they lost. But, yeah, it was a boring game. It really was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Super Bowl party was fun. The
we had a great
Super
time.
Bowl game was kind of boring, but I won a little bit of money on it, so I can't be too mad.
Sure. You going to share the wealth?
No.
Wow. Really
well, nice. I remember when you placed a bet, you said, I'm doing this just to feel something tonight, man. And I was a little nervous.
I didn't say that.
I was very worried.
No. No.
There's a hotline.
I literally made FanDuel those bets a week and a half before the Super Bowl. Don't even start.
Just to feel something.
Behavior's a language.
Oh, he's out of here.
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean,
it was, you know.
No, it was terrible. I mean, Pete Dredge, you guys have anything to add? I mean, there's no way either of you guys enjoyed the game.
I mean, it was a defensive battle, but otherwise, that's about it.
Look on Pete's face.
I mean, yeah,
it was a defensive battle. That's all.
Yeah, the halftime show was sick.
I mean,
I enjoyed the halftime.
The halftime show was good. Yeah, I mean, all the times I've had to watch New England win the suit, yeah, it sucks. For those that don't know, Pete's a Rams fan, so obviously Seattle, one of the bigger rivals. And yeah, it also sucks because for those that don't pay attention to the sport at all, the Rams played Seattle in a very, very close NFC title game that they very well could have won. Had the Rams won, it would have been them in the Super Bowl. So I feel like it's like doubly crappy.
Thank you, man. I appreciated that. Thank you.
I'm sorry. That reminder. I'm sorry. It's not meant to be a reminder.
It's out of support.
It is. Like, I mean, it really does suck because I felt like the winner of that NFC title game would have easily won the Super Bowl. And after seeing the Super Bowl, I'm even more confident in that. But yeah, it's just a crappy way to end the season.
It's a tough night.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
It's all right, man.
Yeah. But
not unexpected,
but at least, Stafford said he's coming back and he won MVP as he deserved to. So, you know, there's definitely an exciting, year to look forward to, I think, for being a Rams fan and for being a Giants fan. And yeah, I think that pretty much covers it for our teams here. As for next year, I mean, no, dude,
sorry,
dude, brother. The Jets, I think they're over under like win total for next season is going to be like 2.5. I'm not even kidding. Maybe it'll be like 4, but like, dude, they're in trouble.
When they get Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr, they'll move it up.
Shut up.
Bit.
Please. Oh, boy. Please. All right. Nice. Well, Ice Aiden. Super Bowl sucked. If you could have any wrestler cameo in Yu-Gi-Oh, who would you love to see? That's a great question.
I have an answer.
What's your answer, Cal?
The best entertainer of all time, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, true. That having a dueling character mimic Dwayne Johnson would actually be really, awesome. Really funny. That's a good pick. My immediate mind went to The Undertaker, and it would be like just a creepy one-off.
Mine literally went to The Undertaker.
That's funny. Yeah, just like a character that rises from like, you know, it's a duel in a cemetery, and he opens a casket and just like pops out, like sits up. Yeah, I think that would be really, really funny.
Character that no matter how many times you defeat them, they keep coming back.
Yeah. Dredge Nick T, any thoughts?
The Buried Alive match.
Yeah. I feel like Kofi Kingston or Xavier Woods would be good Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelists, so I'd want one of them in there for sure.
Ooh, tag duel? Get them both in there?
Yeah, they're kind of trolls, but I think they actually would know how to Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel, which would make it cool.
I like that a lot.
Fair.
Get Kofi in an action duel, and he could walk on his hands and shit. Like, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
Yeah, he would probably lose, but I think it would be entertaining. Nice. I agree with you.
Come on, man.
Well,
come on.
You know, he the Rumbles didn't go so well for him, but you know, I think it would be entertaining.
They really do.
I agree with you.
He's an entertainment duelist, man.
Sure. Ice Aiden, great questions. Thank you so much for the super chat. Greatly appreciate you, my man. Got a couple more, Nick T?
Oh, we sure do.
Beautiful. Appreciate you guys.
Two more, at least as far as I can see, two more. We have. Oh, no, three. Excuse me. We have $10 from Colin Cleaves.
Thank you, Colin. Appreciate it, my man. Thank you so much, Colin.
He said, this episode that introduced Fluffle Frightfur aired in May of 2014. Five Nights at Freddy's, the first game, was released 3 months later. Was the creator of Five Nights at Freddy's secretly a Fluffle player? I think he's unearthing some kind of conspiracy here.
That's kind of crazy. I never...
Can I take legal action for that?
I never... No, because it's loose enough. No, I'm gonna... I've never thought about that. I'm curious, when did Five Nights at Freddy's get, like, created? Like, was it being August 8th, 2014? But you have to imagine they were, like, making the game prior to when it was released. So I wonder, it probably was, like, in development in 2013. But it is really funny that, like, this episode airs in May of 2018 later, yeah. Or 2014, May of 2014. And then, this episode comes out. Or this episode comes out, and then three months later, yeah. The game comes out. That is so funny.
Very interesting.
Yeah, but really that interesting is... fun fact. And bless you, Cal. Did you know? No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not that desperate for did you knows right now. But no, that is a really, really interesting fun fact. I like that fun fact a lot. I'm gonna definitely write it down, Colin. Great stuff. Yeah, really, really cool coincidence. I think my favorite Yu-Gi-Oh! Obscure fun fact that I've actually never done a video or a short on, and I realized it during a 24-hour stream, is I am fully convinced that the Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Wheelie Breakers video game, the shop theme song, stay with me here, we're getting very, very down the rabbit hole, the shop theme song ripped off Aerosmith's Walk This Way, that they ripped it off. That theme sounds identical to Aerosmith's Walk This Way, and you cannot convince me otherwise that it is a full ripoff of that song. Nick T or anybody. So it's, let me see if I can find it real quick. Because I remember whoever was with me on that stream, I was shocked. I was like, wait a second. Let me see if I can find it.
The shop theme?
I think it's the shop theme. Yeah, you'll know immediately if it is or not. Let me look. 5D's Wheelie Breaker. And I'll play it for the stream as well. Let me, I'm not sure where it is.
I'm going to unmute YouTube if you find it.
It can't be, the shop theme is.
So, no, card shop theme, card shop theme, and wait for like the 7-8 second mark. I'm going to play it on stream right now. So, if you guys want to listen, right, now remember, Walk This Way, you know,
I know Walk This Way extremely well.
Okay, so here, and again, maybe you'll hear it and you'll say, no. And Nick T, you're obviously much smarter when it comes to musical stuff than me. Here is the Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Wheelie Breakers soundtrack card shop theme.
Oh, it's specific to the game. Okay.
Here we go. Wait for it to come in.
Oh, come on, dog.
It's exactly.
Am I wrong? What are your thoughts?
It's pretty spot on. I mean, like,
Well, you're right.
So you think I'm right on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
if you just like sped it up a little bit, that's the shot.
I mean, it's crazy that they got away with it. Now, this game came out, I think, in 2008. And, you know, it could have been that, like, maybe like somebody caught wind of it and they were like, we're not going to bother. Like, you know, it is what it is. But it is insanely similar, to the point that I think it completely rips that riff off. Completely rips it
Next
off.
Next week, we're going to see that Yu-Gi-Oh! Is getting sued by Aerosmith. It's going to be your video.
Well, Nick T, you're someone who's obviously very, like, in the music space. Is that even something that, like, Aerosmith would even, like... I don't think they'd even bother with it, but would they even have a case if they went after them? Is there even a case there?
Would they have a case? Probably. Probably they could have a case.
Though.
Yeah. I don't know. Statute of limitations probably hasn't passed. They probably could build a case around it. Would it be worth it?
Definitely
probably
not. Definitely not. No.
Yeah, it would definitely not be worth it.
No, this is an obscure 5D spin-off game. Yeah, no.
Yeah, exactly. And also whether you could argue there's a case or not doesn't mean that, like, they would win. I mean, you know...
Sure.
The similarities in songs don't necessarily constitute, like, a copyright.
You'd have to prove that they actually used the exact, like, rhythm.
Well, no.
Right?
It gets tricky. It doesn't have to be... It's not necessarily even a sample thing, because, like, there's two types of licenses. Hmm. There's a... like a mechanical license, which is like the song itself, like the recorded song, which this is not a sample. But then there's also like the written song, which like that this theoretically would be a infringement on that. I think even though they had to have a case, you'd probably be hard pressed in convincing a judge that it'd be like, you know.
And financially, there's no point financially. But it is absolutely. And I put the link in the YouTube chat if anybody wants to check it out. And if you don't know the song, look up Walk This Way by Aerosmith. It is the main guitar riff in that song. And it kicks in about 7 seconds into the card shop theme and Wheelie Breakers. That will, you know, we're talking about like, oh, the Five Nights at Freddy, you know, stuff with Fright Fur. That is the Wheelie Breakers, my favorite obscure pop culture Yu-Gi-Oh! Trivia that I've actually never done a video on. I've never done a short on it. But I definitely have to do a short on it at some point. But it's a match match. It's unfreaking believable.
Yes, that's pretty cool.
But really, really cool. Really cool stuff.
I think I'm going to do a short on it tomorrow so that you can't do it.
Okay. By the way, if you do a short on it and upload it to like, you know, whatever, I don't even know if you have a YouTube, well, you have a YouTube channel, Cal Breezy. I would download your short and then upload it to Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything as a power move and then see what you did about it.
That'd actually be pretty cool. It'd be your first Did You Know without you in it.
Pete is over there like, that is crazy. Caliber, oh, that would be awesome. Me just stealing his video and doing no work.
I mean, that's just straight disrespect.
And he's like, oh, that'd be so cool. Yeah. Yeah, Colin. Well,
then I could say that you did a Did You Know and you weren't even in it.
You could. I mean, you could. I don't know if that's a good fun fact, but you definitely
could.
No, but
it would be more annoying how much I would bring it up to you. Like, it wouldn't be worth it.
I gotcha. That makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I just make your life a living hell.
All right.
I love it. I love to hear it.
Colin, thank you for the super chat, my friend. Greatly, greatly appreciate you.
Yes. On to the next one. We have $6.66 from Batman.
The Devil Dono from Batman. Thank you, Batman. Appreciate you, my friend.
And he said, I wonder how and when Bonaparte toy cards got imported. We already got Fright Furs, Zexal doll monsters, and Yugi toy box cards.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, that man. Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard. Like, Animation Chronicles was obviously always such a great set for, like, cards to get imported and whatnot. So they've kind of changed their way. I'm very interested, although I guess they're not going to do this. Remember last year they did, like, GX Osiris Red Selection Pack, and they imported a bunch of random cards from Season 1 of GX. I thought at the time, in year two of the remaster, which would be, of course, starting in April, they were going to do maybe like the raw yellow selection packs and do a bunch of cards from season two, and then the obelisk blue selection packs and do a bunch of cards from season three. So maybe that's something that they're still planning to do, although I think that probably would have been announced already at this point. The Limit Over Collection has done a really cool job of bringing anime cards in. That's been more of a set, though, where they've done, like, individual cards. You know, we did get two Malefic cards, so, like, maybe you could get, like, two, you know, Toy Box Bonaparte cards. I mean, or Toy Soldier. You know, it's certainly possible, but, yeah, I'm very... Obviously, the way that they handle anime cards now is different than it in years past because of Animation Chronicles. Although, wouldn't it be funny if they just bring back Animation Chronicles randomly this year, which they certainly could. I mean, that was a set that went on for many, many years, sometimes under different names. But last year, you know, they just cold turkeyed it. But, you know, the GX Osiris Red Pack was kind of like in lieu of that, kind of. So I don't know. I think it's certainly possible. I do think eventually we are going to get a large majority of anime cards coming to the game, printed into the game. So I think it'll be really cool. You know, Bonaparte is not like at the top of my list of like want. You know, I want a lot of those Vrains characters to get their decks printed. I know, funny enough, that man probably is like, the Vrains characters, we can keep them anime only. I know that man's not the biggest Vrains fan, but you know, we'll see what happens. The Limit Over Collection's been really cool. Obviously, we got the Bones Pumpkin cards that I've got to do a video on probably tomorrow in Maze of Muertos. So, yeah, they've been doing really cool stuff recently. And that's something that, even though I've been very, like, upset with what's happened on the anime side, that has been something that has consistently always been enjoyable. Seeing anime decks get support, seeing anime exclusive cards get printed. You know, I wasn't the happiest when Animation Chronicles was, you know, canned last year, but it's still been overall a good last couple of years for sure, for that department at least. But that, man, thank you so much for the super chat. Thank you for the devil dono. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Love it. We have $5 from Goosey Q.
Goose!
Goose!
Thank you, Goose. I'll take it. Long live Yu-Gi-Oh! Sending positive vibes and kindness to everyone. And keep things PG. Positively, Goose. Goose is currently working on his, like, a brand new card game, which is really, really cool, that he's, custom making from the ground up. So if you're interested in that, definitely give him a follow over on Instagram. I don't know if he's promoted it in my Discord at all, but if he hasn't, he should. Really, really cool stuff. And Goose has always been incredibly creative. He's made like custom Yu-Gi-Oh decks that have actually been played at Jump Festa streams before, just like, you know, upstairs. He's a super creative guy. Awesome friend. Goose, appreciate you very much, my man. Thank you so much for the very, very generous super chat. Thank you, Goose.
And then I think the last one I have on my end is Ice Aiden right
Another
here.
Ice Aiden. Bow, wow, 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 wow.
Pressure.
$5. and he said, if Yu-Gi-Oh were to come back, but with Shin Yoshida as the permanent director in all series, would you be happy or never support Yu-Gi-Oh again?
Well,
I think it's probably a medium here.
No, that's a tough one. Actually, Ice Aiden, I can't even do the bit. I would be over the moon. I would be overjoyed if they brought back the Arc 5 team for a new Yu-Gi-Oh! Series. I mean, seriously.
You want anybody right now.
Well, that's what it is. I am extremely, extremely desperate. What, Pete? What?
Not anybody.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Say it. It's okay.
I would take anybody, and you know what? Yes, there were things about Shin Yoshida's writing that I did not like, particularly how a lot of the girl characters were written in Shin Yoshida arcs and Shin Yoshida main directed series. But you know what? Like, he also did some really good things. I always thought he was very good at writing the power trio. You see it in Doma with Joey, Yugi, and Kaiba. You see it throughout Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal with Shark, Kite, and Yuma. You see it with Outvrains with Playmaker, Soulburner, and Revolver. He's always very, very good at writing that, like, just power trio. And yeah, it sucks that girl characters often in his stories are not handled the best, especially seeing how much of an improvement that was in Sevens and Go Rush. But man, I would take it in a heartbeat, and I would be thrilled. I don't think there's a single... Well, outside of someone really outlandish, which I'm sure is what came on Pete's mind, I don't think there is a single person that I would be really upset with if they came back, again, outside of someone outlandish, and did a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime series. I will just say that. I would be overjoyed and over the moon. And at the end of the day, Shin Yoshida is the main director of Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal. Zexal's, I think, the second best Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, and on some nights, I think it might be the best Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. So, you know, like, it's not like Yoshida worked on all these dud projects. I think he's, you know, he did a lot of really good stuff for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Franchise, despite some obvious glaring flaws, which usually stem around his handling and the treatment of girl characters. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You said he writes good trios. Why did you include GX?
Did you say why didn't I include GX?
Yeah, why didn't you?
Well, he
I
was
think we know the answer to that.
He was part of GX, but I believe he only did season 4, which, funny enough, is my favorite season of GX.
Oh, that's like 300 episodes in?
So G no okay. Okay.
Yikes. It's 300. That's wild.
I'm sorry.
I just don't know. I guess we watched a different season 1. I mean, Judai Hayato Show. I mean, that's a power trio right there, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's funny because obviously I literally just finished season one of GX, so
that's
it is
very
fresh on my mind. My opinions of GX season one have really not changed. But the reason I did not bring up GX, I mean, the meme that you're pointing to is how underwhelming that trio is because it's Judai and everybody else. But the reason I didn't bring it up is Shin Yoshida, I don't believe, was a main director for GX until season four. But I'm going to fact check that.
He had nothing to do with Cho.
Oh, boy.
He had something to do with Cho in season four, which I would argue is one of, like, the only, like, good parts of Cho.
Yeah.
So, but let me look it up because he may have been, if he was the director for seasons three and four, that's kind of crazy. Let me look it up. Bear with me here. So Yoshida was a screenwriter for a lot of the GX episodes, including like episodes 5 and 6, 18, 19. But I know he was the director. Yeah, he was the series composer for Yu-Gi-Oh! GX episodes 157 to 180. So he was the main director for season four of GX. For season four. Yeah, for all of Zexal, for all of Reigns. And a lot of people forget this, but for 5D's episodes 27 to 154. So that's the other thing. He was now episodes 1 to 126 of 5D's. Those opening 26 episodes are also very, very good. But he was like the main director for the Dark Signers arc and Neo Arc Cradle. So Yoshida's done some, like, I know we joke about it, we meme about it. He's done some really, really good work in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Franchise. So actually, even like without the desperation I have for another Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, I would actually be really excited if he was back. Maybe not for the girls, but I would be very excited.
Hey, maybe, you know, it's 2026. Maybe he's
improved.
Grown.
Of course, maybe he's improved. Yeah. Yes. You know,
couldn't have got worse.
He couldn't have gotten worse. Well,
it can always get worse.
But yeah, people... Yeah, people, and think about it. The only Yu-Gi-Oh! Show that he was not a main director for at one point or another, Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5. Not including the Rush shows. The only shows at Studio Gallup that Shin Yoshida was not a director for at some period of time, Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5. And Arc 5 doesn't have, like, the greatest reputation among many people in the community. So, you know... He's good at what he does, but certainly he has flaws, as every writer and director does in some capacity.
As every human does.
But great question, Isaiden. I would be thrilled. We get a new Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. I don't even care who's writing it. I don't care who's directing it. I'm jumping down the hill outside my house. Okay, I'm sliding down it.
Running up that hill.
No shirt.
You're gonna pull something if you do that.
That's all right. Dark Emperor J, thank you so much for the $2 donation. Thank you, Dark Emperor. Day 21, I joined the Radon Festival. You'll probably see the video in Discord. That Pete Smiling, that first Radon fight is so funny. You running with a jar and eight other just random ass characters. Oh, that first Radon fight. I know the second one is, like, most talked about for obvious reasons, but it's a shame that first one does not get as much praise, because it is very memorable. Also, I heard about his war with Melania, which got me thinking, for those who played Elden Ring, whose side would you join, Radon or Melania? It's Melania or Melania, Pete?
Melania.
I said that and I was like, it doesn't sound right, but it is. Okay, Melania. I would join Melania's side for obvious reasons. I'll just start.
Yeah, there. Me too.
Ooh.
No further questions at this time.
Nick T?
I'm sorry?
I don't even know why I'm at you. I know who you're picking. Pete, who are you picking? You're the most lore in knowledgeable of the five of us. Who are you picking?
I think they're both wrong. I think all of the demigods are wrong. I serve the one true queen, Queen Marika. So
you serve Queen Marika, but when you said all the gods are wrong, Nick T looked very concerned, like he was offended that you're criticizing Melania.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, listen. Whatever her opinion is, I correct my opinion.
My favorite is Pete is so like smart when it comes to the lore of Elden Ring. Nick T knows really probably nothing about the lore of Elden Ring, and he's like ready to fight with you on who's right.
I get it.
Dredge, who are you picking? You seem like a Radahn kind of guy. Am I wrong to say that?
I'd probably go Melania.
Okay. I guess I am wrong to say that. All right. Great questions, Dark
Elf. Got him, brother.
Radahn's the rival.
Yeah. I will check out the video, Dark Emperor. Thank you so much for the $2 donation. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dark. I appreciate you.
Hell yeah. We have $6.07 Canadian from the Pick Rick.
Thank you, Pick Rick.
And he said, glad to see you guys enjoying Arc 5. And what developments are you guys hoping and looking forward to as we move from episode 6 to 7? Was this whole thing just set up?
Was it a setup?
I mean, the next dono.
Look at the donation amount. Look at donation amount.
And then look at the next dono. It's the new brain rot. Is what it is.
Well, okay. Before we get to the next dono, Pick Rick, thank you so much for the $6.07 Canadian super chat. Greatly appreciate you. Yeah, real quick. I mean, I think that's a great question. I remember my thoughts at this point in the story was I wanted to see more Akiba Reiji. Dredger, what is something you're either hoping for or looking forward to as we move forward here in Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5?
I think you hit the nail right on the head, Dill.
Yeah.
See more Akiba Reiji. It's pretty, that was the character that, you know, was that had that captivating feel a couple episodes ago. Seeing him control Shingo in that duel. He's the guy we want to get to know. We want to improve the plot. I'm all about getting these side characters involved, but that's where my focus is. Until I know more about him, that's all I'm thinking about. So,
yeah, I think that's a pretty
totally agree.
Solid pick. Nick, do you agree? Cal, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, he literally was commanding a character within his own duel. He's like, yeah. No, I said wait. Yeah. And he's like, whoa.
All right, bud. Okay. Damn. Okay.
Sorry, continue.
I agree with Nick T and Dredge. I think Reiji's the most exciting thing to look forward to. Although I'm still excited to see to learn more about Sora too. So as something that we're currently looking at and someone that we're already kind of getting some stuff on, does interest me as well.
I like that. Pete, what about you? Something you're looking forward to or hoping for here as we move forward?
I guess just to be different, because I agree with them on their points. I want to just further expand on kind of the LDS school.
Like
I want to know what they're about.
True.
If you haven't feeling it ain't anything good. So I want to see what's cooking up in that building. Anytime there's a giant building over other building in one of these Yu-Gi-Oh! Cities, they are up to no good. I want to know what the hell is going on inside there.
Very fair. Very fair. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good pick. Let me peek ahead while Nick T, if you want to read the next super... Is there a next super chat? There's one more, right, from Fui Weep right
there's
now?
There's one more, yes. There
let
is
me
one
see
more.
Just what the next episodes of... Wow. Yeah, I think it's a very good one. I think next week we're actually only going to do
six.
One episode.
Seven.
Why?
And then...
So seven. Thank you
for and then do seven.
No, you know what? Maybe next week we'll do 7, 8. And then after right. that, we'll do 9, 10, 11.
See.
And there are going to be multiple duels in that. I'll just say that. It's not like there's one two-parter and then a three-parter. But I think given the context and also wanting to like not go, unless it's a massive episode. I mean, I'd say for early on, like one of these episodes is pretty massive.
Huge.
Yeah, I'm
huge.
I'm trying to, it's so weird thinking about how to do this because it's like different, obviously. Than how we've done it before. I don't want to do too many episodes, but also like I think multiple episodes is more enjoyable for people watching. And for the discussions as well, because there's more to discuss. So I think next week we're going to do 7, 8, and then the week after that we're going to do 9, 10, 11. That's where we're leaning right now. So, yeah, I'll just say that. I also don't want to do, like, too many episodes, because if one of you guys can't make it, then it's, like, your 5 episodes. You know what I mean? So, But I think that's what we'll do. The other option is 7, and then 8, 9, and then 10 and 11. So, yeah. We'll figure. You don't like it?
No, I don't.
No. I'm
down for whatever.
Okay. I'm leaning to do 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think that should be fine. I mean, it's 3 episodes. It's less than an hour's worth of content.
Yeah, and it's still early on enough. I think when we get later, maybe we can slow it down when there's a big episode, because a lot of it is like, oh, I want to like hear some speculative thought on what might happen. But right now, that's not as important because we're still so early on with the world building.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to lock it in. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do episodes 7 and 8. And then the week after that, we are going to do 9, 10, and 11. So very exciting. The last two Wednesdays of February already. And then we're in March. So yeah, that's kind of insane. But all right, John, that is crazy. I believe we have a donation from Fwee Weep, Nick T.
Wee weep.
We do indeed. $5 from Fwee Weep, and Fwee Weep said,
"Thank you, Fwee.
Hey guys, hope everything is well. Dylan, what do you think are the rivals' thoughts on the meme 6-7 hashtag justice for Shingo?"
Well, I'll go through it. I mean, I think Kaiba hates it. I think Manjome, if he's the one leading it, I think he's probably pretty like on board with the whole meme. Again, if he's the one leading it, just to kind of fill his ego, I don't think the Kaiser gets it. Jack Atlas, I think, probably thinks it's the stupidest thing in the world. Shark, same. He probably has shoved kids into lockers for doing it.
Definitely has.
Kite has probably, honestly, like stolen the souls of people that have done it. He's probably not a big fan of it. Agaba Reiji's still analyzing it. He wants to kind of understand why people are doing it and what's so enticing about it, and if there's anything that he can maybe utilize to attract people to, you know, his program with the 6-7 meme. Revolver has set his sights on a new target. He's no longer going after the Ignis. He's no longer going after the Cyberverse world. He is going after the kid on that basketball court that did the 6-7 meme. Who Revolver is now going after. Nick T, were you about to talk about the origins of the meme?
No, we're not debating it any longer.
Okay.
But in what way would he be setting his sights on that kid?
He would be he would just be setting his sights on him. I'm not, you know.
What is that? I need you to elaborate.
He wants to get him to end the meme, Nick T.
Revolver's on the list.
And when you end
fucking crazy.
When you end things, you have to take them down at the source. That's all.
Okay, that I can respect.
Luke, I think, does it. I think Luke thinks it's the most like cool.
Luke does it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Luke is so on board with it. And then Zuijo thinks it's the stupidest thing. Very similar to Kaiba. Yeah. Doesn't understand it. I think that covers the rivals. I think Luke.
You don't think that Zuijo would think that 6-7 could be his something?
No.
Oh my god, dude.
You know what? Wait, hold on. Actually,
I mean, there's a slight chance, but I think it's doubtful.
There's a chance in season 3 that he
season
thinks,
3
like,
Zuijo.
He doesn't, like,
whole
he doesn't like understand it, so like he like. Yeah, that could be a something because he doesn't understand it.
Yeah,
he goes to like one of those scenic like visions in his head, and it's like, is this all I needed in my life?
You know what?
Is this the meaning of it all?
Yeah, I actually can't disagree with that.
Well,
I literally like season 3 Zuijo sends me.
I will say this.
I'm just
yes, Pete.
No, you go.
No, I was just gonna say thank you, Fwee Weep, for the thought provoking question.
there's something. I don't know why it's funny to me, but there's just something funny about Kaito just running around anyone that's participating in this meme, just taking their souls.
Well, yeah. I think this is a Kaito whose brother is still going through it. I think he's bitter. And yeah, I think this is his way of trying to get trying to get the meme to stop. If you do this meme, the number hunter literally may descend and take your soul. And I think that'll get the kids to stop. So.
And it is a number. What makes that whole meme?
It's a number.
That's why Dylan saying that actually is probably the most clever thing he's said.
He's going after all the numbers. No, there was some thought behind that.
You're right.
There really was.
I hope there was, at least.
Oh, what a great question. Fwee Weep, thank you for the super chat, my man. Axel Hero, it is great to see you. Thank you for using the link. Thank you for the $10 donation. Greatly appreciate you, Axel. Hello, Yugi boys. I think this question was asked before, but I'll ask it anyway, and it's for all of you. Since we already have Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 as the Chronicles, what would your storyline slash narrative be? I mean, it's a fair statement. If you were asked to make slash give ideas for Yu-Gi-Oh! 10. So Axel Hero is basically asking, like, what would your storyline or narrative be for a new card game anime, but wanted to throw in the Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 being the Chronicles jab, which is so funny. I love that. Axel, I've said it many times. For me, it is a new story in a pre-existing world, whether it's 5 years after the events of Zexal, 10 years after the events of GX, 5 years after the events of 5Ds, something in a pre-existing world where there is a chance that we can get nostalgia from old characters showing up, or it is a story in the game of Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links, which I still believe is a money idea. Anybody can show up. There's a threat to the world. Everybody is locked into Duel Links because of some virus that they have to solve. And if they don't, they're all going to lose their consciousness. I know that's very, like, you know, Sword Art Online. It's very cliche. But I think it works in a game that has been existent for 10 years that a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans have touched. You can have events tied to the anime in the mobile app. Oh, I think it would be a great experience. Those are my two picks if I had to give an idea for what I would want Yu-Gi-Oh! 10 or the next Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game anime to be. Any of you boys, is there anything that just comes to mind?
I have like a weird, I guess it's not weird, but like the thought of how big AI is now makes me laugh about, like, you know, the AI and brains being like a thing
ahead of its time,
however many years ago that was. Yeah. Because I feel like now, like, my thought is, like, if you did a different take on, like, AI, it could be something where, like, people are using AI to do duels for them, and then these AI are taking over their brains, so you have to, like, save people from the controlling AI, and, like, someone's building these AI, and that's who your ultimate enemy, like, something along those lines. But again, like, a new story, and it could be in any world. Like, if it was in an existing world, but that was the threat, it would still work.
I like that. I mean, I think a play on, like, events that are going on in the real world is always a pretty smart pick. And AI is such a...
It's just crazy that that's kind of, like, what Vrains was, but in a different way.
Yeah, and Vrains was, like, 2017, so Vrains was definitely well ahead of its time. It really was.
100%.
Yeah. Any other ideas, boys?
Just call it Vrains 2, bro.
Brains too. I think I've mentioned it before, but I guess I will also reiterate my hope, like my an idea I like for Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 would be to sort of have it pretty grounded, like sort of almost slice of life, but treating the game as it is, you know, here, sort of akin to like what Gundam Build Fighters is, where like it's that Gundam Build Fighters is kids physically buying model kits of Gundams and building them, and then those things battle. It'd be kids picking up the physical card game of Duel Monsters or you know whatever it is, and playing it. I think would be pretty cool.
It would definitely be a unique grounded take.
Slice of life.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. I think that could work. I think that could work. Dredge,
I would go a prequel in one of the stories.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay, I like that. Pete, what
more
about you?
More of like origin of no, you're good. I'm just origin of like whichever one you want to go with, and just build up into those other characters, and like maybe how Pegasus became who he was. Like, you know, somebody, like you can do anything. You could also touch on different characters that, you know, maybe it's not a happy ending for our protagonist, who ends up being like a villain or something, you know, something a little different, but still the same principle of Yu-Gi-Oh! And how it became in the cities or the areas that it was.
Yeah. I mean, I like that pre-existing world. I think it kind of falls under what
pre-existing world.
Yep. Like to see as well. No, I like it. I mean, because everybody always talks about a sequel, so a prequel is an interesting interesting take on one of the shows. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, Dredge, I guess it would be like doing like a Rogue One kind of style thing.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, like it becomes into
knowing, getting in there, knowing probably most of these characters die, but it gives us a new perspective when we watch the show that it goes into. Yeah. To be like, oh, that's how that got there and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
like maybe how Godwin became God, like the whole story behind that, like Godwin, you know, his brother, what happened. I mean, we get a very, you know, small version, add duels and add reasons. Maybe that was all, you could argue that it was Ilyasha the whole time that it caught, right? You could go back, you could link in some of the newer stuff and pull it back in, and it would be pretty interesting, I think, so.
Because a lot of those characters have backstories, but I would say limited backstories. There's always more that you can expand on with them. So,
Yeah, with that idea, my mind went to like Dr. Kogami and like the Knights of Hanoi forming and like what pre-existing event happened before that.
What was the kicker
that put these people on that path? So that was a good suggestion there, Judge. But my idea is, we talked about this recently, and it's something I very much gravitate towards. I want to see more dual spirits, and I think having a show be kind of Ghost Hunter-esque, where you could have us traveling the world, the new world that's in, that's maybe kind of exists in a pre-existing world, and it's kind of a race between two groups, our protagonists and then whoever the antagonist is, to kind of collect and find the histories of these dual spirits, which could give some references maybe where they came from back to some older shows. And I think that could be kind of like a global different environment expansion of like,
great pick,
making sure you get all of this collection of dual spirits, because you can't let the other side have it because they could rule the world, or it has some, you know, you could write in some catastrophic event. So I think that'd be a really kind of fun adventure kind of story.
Yeah, that is a really good pick, especially because we've had characters that are so tied to dual spirits. I think of Luna in 5Ds. She could show up, right? If it's like 10 years after 5Ds, she could show up as part of like on the team of like our main protagonist or an advisor or whatever. That is a really good idea. I mean, the dual spirit world is something that really since 5Ds has always been kind of like something that I wish they focused a little bit more on. It was very, very focused on. So you have that nostalgia too, because most people have watched the opening three Yu-Gi-Oh! Shows, and that was a pretty big element in those opening three shows. So that is a really good pick. Yeah, actually a lot of really good picks there. And, you know, the one thing that I'll say, we're just five fans, and I think all five of us had some really interesting ideas. I will end the donation question on this thought. There are so many stories and so many possibilities that you can tell through the vehicle that is the Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game. I mean, you know, I can't imagine that right now we don't have a card game anime because of a lack of ideas. I just don't believe that. And of course, it's scary to think that, because then the other option is it's a lack of care, right? They don't want to behavior's a language. They don't want to do it. Nick T, you always get very annoyed when I play that alert.
No, I you know, I feel very one note.
Oh boy, well it's very annoying.
I
always get annoyed when I hear good ideas for a new show. Yes, Cal.
I was gonna say, before you even finish the question, just a simple thought, when Pete was going through his duel, like the dual spirit idea and everything, doing that in a Duel Link style show, like where you could go to all of the worlds instead of a new world, like in the same sense where you maybe have a new group of people that go into Duel Links and the dual spirit is like the main theme, and you go to all the different worlds, so you see all these different characters and you get your callbacks, you get new stories, you get new villains, but you still have like, you know, you got Yugi and Joey hanging out that are going to come help you for this portion of it. And you go,
right,
then you go into the brains, like you would have this,
and also like
ability to go everywhere.
You can build a villain group that, you know, is centered around like AI. I mean, so like the thing that I liked about kind of all of our ideas is there are, I think, elements that you can take from all the suggestions and, you know, yep. use them. And you know, there's just so many ideas. But again, you know, we got this clock, this big, beautiful clock, 309 days, 22 hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, it's not close. But think about it. We've already made a pretty big dent into the 300s. Like, we're almost in the 200s.
I mean, yeah.
What
point,
are we supposed to say to that? Yeah,
I don't think there's anything to say. I don't think there's anything
okay,
to say.
Okay, I just was wondering if there was a reason. Okay.
All right. Well, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, as always, thank you for joining us here on Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 Analysis. This was episodes 5 and 6, the duel between Sora and Yuya. We are going to be doing Arc 5 coverage almost every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So please come by again. I am very, very excited to hearing from you guys and hearing from these four as they continue their journey with, excuse me, with Arc 5. Thank you, guys. To everybody that donated and super chatted, thank you so much. You do not know how much it means to me and how much it genuinely does help this channel continue to run. We've got four great people that joined us tonight. Dredger, Pete, Cal, Nick T, they've all got stuff going on. I'm going to let Dredge start, and then we'll go down Pete, Cal, Nick T. All of their stuff is linked in the description. All I ask is that you please check them out, follow them on whatever platforms they're going to be promoting. Dredge, we will start with you, my friend.
Yes, Dredge, stream at twitch.tv/DredgeNator. Going to have a nice little birthday stream on Saturday for about 3-4 hours. I'm not sure if I'm going to do Bloodborne yet. I think I will, but if not, maybe we'll do something a little different. But come check that out, 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday morning if you want to come hang out and get some Saturday morning entertainment.
Awesome. Awesome. Pete, what's going on in your world?
Yeah, happy early birthday, dude.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I have a YouTube channel, Clueless Gamers. Brian and I recorded our Super Bowl recap episode. So somebody asked about the Super Bowl earlier. So if you want to hear more of our thoughts on that and kind of the NFL in general, it's kind of our yearly wrap-up show, which is always sad. So that should be posting on Friday. So give that a check out. And if you would, and follow me on Twitter, PeterCarter21.
Yeah, for great NFL coverage, check that podcast out. Go over to Clueless Gamers. Cal, what is going on with you?
I got nothing to promote. Just send it down to my boy Nick T.
Nick T.
No, that can't be true.
Nick T, you got some got some big announcements.
Nick T's
Nick
got
T,
big
so yeah, take as much time as
you talked about it on here. I don't think I've talked about it on here yet.
No, you have not. But, you have not. No.
We've got a few things cooking, actually, because first and not foremost, I'll start with this first. I've returned to Twitch in some capacity. Actually, I just changed the handle to twitch.tv/namelingnj to kind of keep it in line with my musical endeavors. So you can tune in. I might be doing a stream tomorrow, so keep your eyes peeled.
Oh, wait. Tomorrow?
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, possibly...
Like, what do we think, 7:30?
7:30 to 9.
Okay, let me make sure my notifications are on for the... Wait, what is that Twitch handle now? It's a new Twitch handle, I believe.
I like this, yeah. twitch.tv/namelingnj.
NamelingNJ, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I have to update some links, but that is the new name. And the reason for that is because I'm starting to make the push because Nameling LP, Spellbroken, out February 27th.
Woo!
It's a Friday.
February 27th. Let's go!
I'm in the process of planning. I might do like a music, like I might do a Twitch like concert in promotion of it. You know, I'll have all the links where you can download or stream or purchase the music on that. That way you guys could, you know, support me in any way. And that would be greatly appreciated. It will be on all streaming platforms. And you know, you guys can be a part of it. So keep your eyes peeled on that. In the meantime, follow me on Instagram at NamelingNJ.
Awesome stuff. Yep. Very happy for you, man. Definitely check out Nick T. It's been a long time coming. Very excited for the EP.
Been a long time coming.
Coming out February 28th on all streaming platforms. Very 27th. February 27th on all streaming platforms. Well, it will be out on February 28th, but yes, it comes out on February.
It will be, yeah. It will exist. It will exist on that day, yes, for sure.
Check it out. Awesome stuff. As someone who knows most of the music on there, really, really good powerful, painful music. So please check it out. It is awesome stuff. Very proud of you, Nick.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. Nick T, thank you so much. Cal, thank you. Pete, thank you. Dredge, thank you. You guys are incredible. I appreciate you taking time out of your Wednesday night to join me here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to wrap up Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 Analysis Episodes 5 and 6. To everybody that super chatted or donated, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate all of you so much. We will be back Wednesday night with Episodes 7 and 8. And if you know what one of those episodes are, you will not want to miss that show. Thank you all so much for watching. Love and appreciate all of you guys. And I hope you have an amazing day.
Amazing day.
Take care, guys. Night, see you next time.
Bye.